bones are amazing things. They hold us up. They support us. They make us strong. But bones have other uses. In the past, bones were thrown by diviners, seeking out the mysteries of the future. Now the bones are cubes, made of plastic or resin. But they still reveal things to us as they fall from our fingers and rattle across the table. The story becomes clear. Welcome to Bone Throwers Theater, an RPG actual play podcast.
Hello! Welcome back to Bone Throwers Theater. My name is Jeremy, and we are playing Microscope.
This is Johnny, and I love Microscope.
This is Aaron, and this is only my second time with Microscope.
And this is Jordan, and I have zoomed in on a whole bunch of different histories by using Microscope. And it's a lot of fun. I'm really glad that we're doing this once more. So, as a little background, if you haven't ever listened to our episodes before, this is something that we've done for two of our campaigns. We did this originally for Terra Proximus way, way, way long time ago. And then we did this again.
In a galaxy far, far away.
In the before times.
No, actually.
It was not. It was our solar system.
It was our solar system, yeah.
And it wasn't a long time ago. It was a long time in the future. In this very galaxy.
Angel's Guard was a long time in the future, too.
Yes, apparently in this galaxy, yeah. Apparently it was just a long time in the future from Terra Proximus.
Yes. But this is in a totally different galaxy, what we'll probably be doing today. We are going to be setting up for our next campaign. Ellie is going to be joining us in a few recording sessions in the near future, hopefully. She just wasn't able to make it tonight. Totally understandable. She said that we had her blessing to continue on, and so that is what we're going to do.
And potentially Jeff will be back too.
That's what we're looking for. It looks like he might be coming back to the area, so stay tuned for the sonnet tones of Jeffrey.
Stay tuned for the ones.
So, Microscope is by Ben Robbins. Ben Robbins is also the creator of Kingdom, and we have done Kingdom. It's a fun game, and we might steal some. We might do a little bit of light mixing here. But Microscope is a game all about history, where you take a large view of history, and then you zoom in on different eras to build basically a storyline. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and read off the introduction to the book, because I think that's a really great way of diving into things. Humanity spreads to the stars and forges a galactic civilization. Fledgling nations arise from the ruins of the empire. An ancient line of dragon kings dies out as magic fades from the realm. These are all examples of Microscope games. In Microscope, you build an epic history as you play. Want to play a game that spans the entire Dune series, The Silmarillion, or The Rise and Fall of Rome in an Afternoon? That's Microscope. But you don't play the history from start to finish, marching along in chronological order. Instead, you build your history from the outside in. You start off knowing the big picture, the grand scheme of what happens. Then you dive in and explore what happened in between, the how and the why that shaped events. You are free to jump backwards or forwards, zooming in or out to look at whatever you want, defying limits of time and space. Want to leap 1,000 years into the future and see how an institution shapes society? Want to jump back to the childhood of a king you just saw assassinated and find out what made him such a hated ruler? That's normal in Microscope. You have vast creative authority. You can make whole empires rise and fall at will. Dream up a utopia or destroy one with nuclear fire. You can have that power, but remember, you're not alone. Everyone else at the table can do it too. You create independently, but not in isolation. Each facet you add to history builds on what other players built before you. You expand on their ideas, and they expand on yours. History might not turn out the way you expected. Be prepared to think on your feet. When you zoom all the way in to a particular moment in time, all the players share the stage and roleplay together to find out something we want to learn about the history. Did the crew of the Icarus know the aliens were on Titan? Did the rebels really fake the government crackdown? Do the knights remember the original meaning of their ritual vows? We roleplay and see. The more you play, the more your once simple history summary becomes a detailed tapestry full of meaning and surprises. History snowballs. So that is the introduction at the beginning of the book. And I think it's a pretty good one to explain how it works. And it does a pretty good job of laying things out. So one thing that I think we did last time when we set up Elements of War, and I think it worked really well, is we created an inspirations list. This inspirations list was a book, a TV show, a movie, something that kind of captured our idea of what we thought we would like to see in the game. And then we tried to pick something out of that which would help us build this world. One thing that we have discussed already is that we want to go ahead and play a space opera campaign next. I think we're all big, well, I'm a big fan of space opera. I think it's safe to say that Johnny and Jeremy are big space opera fans as well. Aaron, you're a little bit more of the high fantasy fan.
Yeah.
But you don't mind pew-pew lasers either.
No, not opposed to pew-pews.
Very good. So this is going to be a space opera campaign. And it's also going to try and mix in some fantasy because I do want to base this off of world mythology. Like from a GMing perspective, my hope is to read a lot of world mythology, particularly Polynesian mythology, and work in ideas from that in the background. So adventures might come out of the stories of Maui or something like that.
Yeah. So are we thinking more of like a Dune type space odyssey or like a Babylon 5?
I'm thinking more along the lines of Babylon 5. So if I was going to just throw some spitballs of ideas based off of what I was thinking Moana meets Treasure Planet meets Star Trek The Next Generation.
Okay.
I'm digging it.
So those are kind of ideas that were bouncing around in my head a little bit. I think I've mentioned that I want to do like a Treasure Planet campaign type of thing at some point or another. And it seems like a good time to tie that in.
Yeah.
All right. Just question.
Yes.
Knowing Bone Throwers Theater and what we tend to do.
How dark do we want to go?
Yes.
That's something that we'll talk about when we get to our palette.
Because that could be change some inspiration.
Yeah. Okay. So my thought is, I would like to keep it optimistic, but I do recognize that mythology is violent.
Oh, yeah.
So violence, happy violence.
Yes, violence is different from darkness.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not going towards the realm of Prometheus where someone is literally chained to a mountain having his liver eaten out by an eagle every day.
Yeah.
Well, there goes my idea.
Yeah. Only every other day. Let's keep our liver eating down to half a week.
So, yeah, it would be nice to try to keep it light. And I'm always one of the most guilty parties with driving darker and darker at times.
You're not as bad as Jordan.
What?
Honestly, I think all of us,
maybe do it,
with the exception of Johnny,
I'm a very lighthearted person, so
thrown a little bit of dark between unexpectedly
shooting up in the alley or.
See, that's the thing. As players, we make a choice to go dark when something happens that triggers our character.
Yes.
I think that's
fair. And I do drive that.
Yes.
I will say that.
Really? No.
I do push buttons, and I will continue to push buttons.
So I think if we were going to do that, if we were going to purposely try to keep a lighter feel on the campaign, we need to figure out a way to come back from those dark places. Because darkness is, having those dark moments are fine, but we need a way to reset that we plan as players.
Well, that also depends on the format of the campaign, because we do normally do very serialized stories.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Do we want to do more
serialized or do we want to do episodic?
Episodic. That was my next question. Yeah. Because I feel like if we do an episodic campaign, then
it's easier to reset.
It's easier to reset because you end a session and you're like, well, what happens next week? There's some build off of it, but it's never going to be as consequential.
Yeah, the continued underlying story.
But yeah, there's arcs. There's, you know, like a consistent bad guy that gets brought back, or I think an episodic could be fun.
I like the idea of doing season arcs.
Yeah.
I want to try and plan very specific things for each episode of a season, but I want to try and have a little bit of downtime towards the end of each recording session, if at all possible. So those are things I've been thinking about a lot, honestly. So this is inspirations. This is kind of a popcorn situation. So if something comes to mind, go ahead and bring it up.
So when you talk about space opera, one of the things that I think has always been neat, it happened in Next Generation, it happened in one of the Star Wars animated one, is Interstellar Life. I don't know what I would call that inspiration.
Space whales?
Yeah, like the space whales, but not really space whales. But, you know, something Interstellar Life, something that has evolved to exist between the planets.
So that would be like on our yes and no list.
Yes.
Yeah, rather than an inspiration list. Thank you.
So I will go ahead and put, there is life that exists in space.
Yeah.
And that actually works very well with the story that I want to tell, because you all are spacefarers in an expanse that is based off of the ocean. So there are space sharks and things like that. Yes, I like that idea.
So inspirations, I'm going to go with the Ender's Game series. Not just the one book, but the whole series.
What specifically are you thinking?
I'm thinking because, like, you know, there's obviously the alien species and stuff like that, but the colonizations, each planet has their own, like, when they did the colonizations, each planet did their own cultures.
Yeah.
So lots of different cultures.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'm going to go with the Cytonic series by Brandon Sanderson.
Oh, I'm listening to that one right now.
And my reason is humanity is not the predominant interstellar culture.
I'm going to go ahead and say Farscape.
Okay. I saw that coming.
I like the idea. Going on to your idea of there's life that exists between the worlds, there is an organic, how am I going to put this? Like, Moya is a character in and of herself. I want there to be almost like an animistic feel to it. Animism in things that might not be necessarily what we would consider alive.
Yeah.
Like the spaceship is alive. So animistic approach to technology.
To all technology?
To a point.
To some, at least.
Well, that's very similar to Stargate Atlantis.
Okay.
Where that one species, the Wraith, their ships were made of organic material. They were living ships, where not everybody had living ships. Yeah. They had purely computerized. And then you can get into the replicators, who everything was living and everything was computerized as well.
So I'm going to put animistic approach to technology and belief to try and capture both Moya and Zahn.
Does that inspiration have to be purely space?
No. Like if you wanted to do a fantasy or music or anything that you want.
Yeah.
I think that's just how it's landed.
Okay. It's tough because when you say inspiration, you're almost, and give a reason, you're almost also diving into the yes and no list.
To a certain degree, yes.
And I don't know how much blanket statement we want to say, yes, this is a thing. Because this, what I'm thinking, could really disrupt what maybe Jordan has planned.
That's okay.
Jordan doesn't tell us all the time.
Yes. But no, this is a rabbit hole that could end up.
Okay.
End up.
I like
being
rabbit holes.
So I'm thinking like another sci-fi show. One of the things that popped into my head, and this was like '90s, the show Sliders.
Oh yes.
Where there is alternate realities.
And I was seeing interdimensional stuff also.
Well, yeah, interdimensional.
So, yeah, and that was something that I was considering because there's definitely, and this doesn't actually clash with my ideas at all, because I was thinking that there would probably be some sort of discussion of an underworld.
Mm-hmm.
Like you see it in Moana to a certain degree, where Moana and Maui go down into the underworld and there's a giant crab that's all shiny.
Oh, I'm picturing it. All right. So the Cytonic way they travel, so they travel through this place called the Nowhere. Only certain people and certain things have the ability to travel through the Nowhere. So what I'm picturing is these, like, sliders, these holes open up randomly. They travel through the underworld, which is the Nowhere, and that's how they get faster than, like, travel between planets. That's
another thing I was thinking for the yes and no.
The original warp.
Yes, yeah.
That's another thing I was thinking for the yes and no category is different ways to travel other than just spaceships.
Yeah.
And since we're doing a space thing. Yeah. I saw this.
Have you tried those yet?
No, I haven't.
They're weird.
They're unique.
Coke has this new thing called Starlight.
Insert commercial here.
Yeah. I was walking through the store and I saw space flavored. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
How is space a flavor? So I was like, I don't know, let's try it
you since know, we're doing... You know what kind of tastes like? If you take all the fruit sodas and mix it with Coke?
Yeah. Yeah. They do have a Coke Zero Starlight as well, which I was impressed.
I was about to shake it up because it's juice.
It's got fruit and vegetable juice in it, so...
Definitely doesn't taste like Coke.
It's not Coke, that's for sure. No.
I mean, it's got this...
You definitely taste Coke in it.
Yeah.
But you taste something else
there. Yes.
Like, while I'm drinking it, I wouldn't think I'm drinking...
Anything other than Coke.
And then it's like afterwards, I'm like...
Tastes like space.
Tastes like space. So that's got to be in there somewhere as well.
Tastes like space out here. Sounds like someone Wash would say.
Or river.
Yeah.
Tastes like space.
The book was broken.
And everybody's just like, what?
Oh, season two.
All right. So we have our inspirations list down. Now it is time for the palette. So the palette is our yes and no's. So yes, we already have one yes on our palette.
You're talking about interstellar
animals? Yeah, there is life that exists between the worlds.
Interdimensional travel would be another yes. Just thinking, depending on what era, there may be different levels of that travel.
Yes.
I want to say yes to habitable planets must have rings.
Huh. I like it.
Okay.
So, further define that. Could a planet have rings? The planet is not habitable, but the moons of the planet would be habitable.
The moons would need rings on themselves. Okay,
so everything needs rings.
This is specifically because this is going back to Polynesia. Planetary rings are the galaxy's version, this universe's version of coral reefs that protect the planet. Because I'm imagining space is very violent, very much like if there is wildlife in space, it's a habitable ecosystem crashing against the planets. The rings act as like breakers, and there's like clean space that you can travel from the planet to and things like that. Now, that doesn't mean that you are only limited to living on planets. You can live in the rings. So I will go ahead and modify this to say habitable bodies must have orbital rings.
I'm going to say a no.
Okay.
Artificial intelligence.
I like it. So no artificial intelligence, i.e. no robots. And that goes back into the animistic approach to technology and belief, mm-hmm. because you could have something that has been brought to life.
You can have robots without
AI.
Yeah. Without AI.
Because robotics can be...
You can't have androids.
Yeah. What I'm saying is like you can...
Sorry, Ellie.
You can have rock monsters, though.
Yes, you could have rock monsters.
Yeah.
Rock monsters.
Yeah, I'm saying no artificially created intelligent life forms.
Now, here's my question. Regarding the rings, can you have artificial rings?
You can have rings that are put into place.
Yes. Like Halo? I would say yes. Yeah. 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 And so that's what I was talking about.
Or Ring World.
Yeah.
You can have, like, let's say we want to inhabit another planet. Mm-hmm. We can create that ring system.
Part of terraforming.
Yeah.
So the planet is not actually habitable, but they have built a ring.
Mm-hmm. That's what Ring World is, basically.
I think it's hard to come up with no's when you're talking about space.
Yes, it is. No space zombies.
I can think of some things that I would not want to include for fear of, like, no laser swords.
I'm thinking that for just...
But I don't know. Yeah, and I don't know if that needs to be spelled out.
Giving it too much flavor of a certain franchise.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know if they need to be spelled out.
Well, we can say no franchised elements.
Yeah.
No laser swords.
Yeah.
Or Buddhist monks wielding them. Yes to immortal beings.
Okay. For gods.
And demi beings.
Yeah.
yes to a wide variety of sentient alien life.
Mm-hmm.
Because we already did say that humanity is not the predominant interstellar species.
I would say yes to interstellar governing body.
Are you thinking like one specific one that all planets are under, or are you thinking more like the Federation, where it's one of many?
One of. Because I was thinking faction. Certain factions. Because another
like,
one.
Like Federation.
Okay.
Another inspiration that I was thinking of drawing on and chose not to say this one because it was very political and very dark. It's in the name. Dark Matter.
That's a good show.
It's a good show. But there are definite factions that rule.
Okay.
That manipulate what goes on.
It's very similar in that regard to Firefly. Speaking of show that got fairly political at times.
Yeah.
And I have a no, but I don't know how to put it because there's other things that like I don't want to include in that no.
How would you feel if I said no to intentional time travel?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Why do you say intentional?
Because when you're talking about interdimensional travel, then it's a possibility. But like no one is doing, I'm going back in time to this time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To do X, Y, Z.
We're not allowing, we're going back in time to punch Nazis, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it could be brought in as a complication or a wrinkle in if something is.
Oh, I want to say no dinosaurs. But now I want a pet dinosaur.
No dinosaurs. No bees. They're not in space.
Space bees.
It's just one giant space bee.
Forget space whales, they're space bees.
We're going to come up on a planet and it's a hive of them.
Guys, those aren't rings.
It could be space spiders. We read that book.
No space bugs.
We gotta specify what interstellar life means. We're meaning whales and fish, not bugs.
No spiders, roaches, barbecue flavored crickets.
But he said immoral life, so why can't there be roaches?
Anyway, one of the things I do want to bring up is that one of the cultures within Polynesia is New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
New Zealand.
Oh, no. Some weird bugs.
Weird bugs, yes. But,
weird everything.
But also, New Zealand evolutionarily did not develop mammalian life. Hmm. Like, everything in its food chain and and all that.
New Zealand. Nearby islands, yes.
Yeah, no, they were all birds. They were all moa. Yeah. There were 9 species of now extinct flightless birds endemic to New Zealand that like filled up all the role of like sheep and grazers and carnivores and everything like that.
That's crazy.
So that's something that I kind of wanted to work in is that at least one of the species is probably giant flightless birds.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to come across a planet with nothing but Tasmanian devils.
You mean the cartoon or the real things? You were saying that there was a no that you didn't want to be too terribly.
So I was trying to come up with like no to like chemical biological warfare, but if you have like species that's all they do is biological technology,
yeah.
Then of course all the warfare is biological warfare.
I see what you're saying.
You know,
or you mean no specific?
Like, so what he's saying is like in like no use of like
French flu,
mustard gas.
Yeah, exactly.
No mustard gas, but. Flaming phlegm is okay.
Yeah.
No sarin attacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Fire breathing is okay.
Yeah.
I am going to say no nihilism.
Like in our characters, or you mean like explain your nihilism?
We're looking for something that is, personally, I am looking for something that is uplifting, right?
Okay.
We're looking for a positive story. So if main point of the story is that everything is going to die in a terrible heat death and there is nothing really worth doing, then...
What if that's reality? Okay, I see what you're saying.
I am looking to aspire to something greater.
The philosophy driving our characters in the story,
right?
We want to not be nihilistic, is right. Specifically what you're saying.
When you
say no nihilism.
Our mission, if we choose to accept it, make everybody happy.
Rainbows.
But I kind of get what you're
saying. We're space Care Bears.
I love this idea.
Only if we get Care Bear stairs.
Oh, yes.
What about the cloud car?
That's how we travel through space.
Best campaign ever.
I'll file that away for one shot. Care Bears in space. That would be a good Reese's game, actually.
And we're fighting the big bads or the My Little Pony Xenomorphs.
Led by Skeletor. That sounds like a Reese's game right there.
Yes, it does.
All right. I think we've done a pretty good job of defining our palette.
Yeah.
I think so.
All right. So we kind of skipped over the big picture for the moment. So let's go ahead and circle back to that. So this is kind of along the lines of cavemen at the dawn of time found the first civilization. Mankind leaves the sick earth behind and spreads out to the stars. That kind of statement.
Big picture.
It's even a bigger picture when we're in space. Like, how big is the scope of the story? Are we talking multiple galaxies or universe, a galaxy?
I'm thinking a single... Quadrant? I'm thinking like a single galaxy.
Okay.
I'm thinking there's hundreds and hundreds of stars out there. There's a lot to explore.
Yes.
But we're not talking about like galaxy hopping from one to another.
So at one point you and I talked about this campaign idea, and you talked about Polynesia. And one of the things we had discussed when it comes to Polynesian culture and history was exploration of finding different paths to different worlds.
Yeah. So our big picture at this point could be multiple cultures learn that they're not alone in the galaxy.
I think there needs to be something else onto that statement, though.
Now, to read from the book, the big picture is supposed to be a simple overview of the history you want to play. So if you were looking for a history book, this would be the one line that summarizes what happens, but leaves out all of the details. It should be no more than a single sentence. Pick something big.
Like I said, space is the final frontier.
You want a lot of time and space to work with. And don't worry if this seems too simple or uninteresting.
Okay.
That's normal at this stage. Fleshing out the interesting details is what the rest of the game is all about.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So in terms of like keeping things open and everything like that, multiple cultures learn they are not alone in the galaxy.
Okay.
Does that feel fair?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So now we are at the start of the bookending history. Your history will be divided into periods. Each period is a very large chunk of time, probably decades or centuries. Describe how your history begins and ends. These are your starting and ending periods, the bookends of your history. You'll add more periods later on, but everything will be between these two points. So first, agree on a short description for each period, just a few sentences or a paragraph at most, painting a clear picture of what happens during that time. Second, decide whether each description is light or dark, whether what happens during that period is generally happy or tragic. This is the tone of each period. The tone of the starting and ending period do not have to match. So how do we want our history to start and or finish?
All right. Here's a good starting point. A invasion from another dimension.
Maybe not invade. What about visitors from another dimension?
Okay.
And the reason I think that it could work is, let's say we're also talking about travel happening via interdimensional travel.
Yeah, so it could be perceived from another dimension, but it's actually, they are using interdimensional travel to get to a certain planet, but they're actually not from another dimension.
They did not originate in the other dimension.
Yeah.
Is this an accident?
Yes. I like the idea of it happens accidentally.
So accidental visitors from another dimension.
That's our starting point. Okay.
Ooh.
Accidental interdimensional travelers bring knowledge of interstellar travel capabilities. And I would say that would be light.
I would say so too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now an end point to our story. Let's see. We could do the opposite. Closing of dimensional gateways.
That could be interesting. Especially if we're talking about
having to rebuild the network.
Yeah. But we wouldn't be rebuilding the network. This is our bookend.
That would make it an event during the timeline.
Yeah.
I like that. It's an event in one era.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Dimensional portals close and we have to
finally rebuild it.
Rebuild it.
Rebuild it. Unlock it.
remap it.
Ooh, they all shift.
Detmon was made of another book series. They used basically like wormholes to travel between planets.
Uh-huh.
The wormholes were collapsing. Collapsing Empire, that's what the series is called.
Oh, I think I've read that.
That sounds good. I like the idea. I like the concept.
That's a great inspiration because they were riding the waves of hyperspace and the waves literally shifted because it was like, you know how currents in the Atlantic Ocean,
yeah,
they shift every so often. And so like a whole arm of human civilization was discovered because it had shifted away and then had shifted back.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And like this whole arm was like vastly superior to the viewpoint characters.
Yeah.
What if we kind of play with it and bookend it with, at that point, we do an invasion from interdimensional place. So if you're talking, it would almost be an interesting mental play if this is accidental and they were friendly, and then the end of the era, or the bookend, is when the actual invasion and they're welcomed with open arms because we think that they're friendly again.
That's veering into darker territory.
Yes, that would be a dark event. Just a thought.
I kind of want to go a different direction as a proposal. I want to say that stars begin to disappear.
I was thinking something very similar.
I like that.
Stars are actually being sucked into dimensional portals. We just don't realize it.
Is that okay?
And I like how vague it is because it's very, there's a lot of things that could be played on that.
Could you throw another descriptor in there? Because this here's what I was thinking, like, because we used the word cultures before in the big picture. We say cultures are united as stars mysteriously just start to disappear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cultures are united as familiar stars begin to disappear. Stars that they know.
Yeah.
We can go ahead and call that dark. It's not invasion from another dimension dark, but it is definitely.
It's dark. I think people would be pretty freaking out. But so, like, especially in a culture that likely bases some of their
navigation.
Well, navigation, but also those shapes in the sky.
Constellations.
If stars are disappearing, then some of the constellations would be shifting.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that they're, I mean, if those gods are real, I mean, that could be some really heavy stuff. It would be dark.
All right, so we have our big picture. We have our palette. We have some inspirations. And we have our bookends. At this point, group decisions are over. So we now begin to either add periods, which are the cards that are horizontal, as these two are, or events, which are lower down and turned towards.
Yeah. And then we have turn order. Yeah.
So I think at this point, this is a good place to pause the episode.
Sure.
We will continue next time building this world. Thank you for listening to Bone Throwers Theater. We are releasing this podcast under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. That means you can share the podcast, but please do not modify it or try to gain financially from it. If you would like to visit our website, you can do so at bonethrowerstheater.com. If you would like to send us an email, you can do so at bonethrowerstheater@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle is bonethrowerstheater. You can also look us up on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And until next time, may the bones fall ever in your favor. This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.